Christopher Gabriel program. You are cleared for departure. Have a good flight.
The Christopher Gabriel program begins now.
This is your 50,000-watt sports leader in Fresno, the Central Valley, and for soccer fans hoping we would go 5,331 miles to take a closer look at the Super League chaos, 940 ESPN, 940ESPNFresno.com. Your Giants-Phillies 35-minute program begins right now. We're going to dispense with everything else we normally do because I have a really talented guy on. He is from ABC News in London. He's a Twins fan, and he's my friend, Mr. Tom Rivers. Tom, it is great to have you back on with me.
Hey, great to be with you, Chris.
So, Tom, let's just jump right in. And I know it's very late for you, so I'm not going to keep you long. These 12 teams in the Super League, we set all of this up yesterday, so we'll dispense with all of that.
Right.
These teams, and correct me if I'm wrong, seem almost... these teams and the teams that have been excluded remind me of the days of the Brooklyn Dodgers, teams that are a part of the fabric of their cities. The local factory workers and tavern owners, they all care yep. about them. This has really hit at a visceral level over there, has it not?
Oh, very much so. And, of course, the game here, you go down the list of teams, not only in the Premiership, but you can go down in the championships or maybe Division I, Division II. And you start reading up on, if it's your local team, you'll say, when did this team begin? And oftentimes the answer is in the late 1800s. And it's often been pointed out when this started, you know, these were working class teams. It was supported by the working class. And now, without any doubt, today this whole thing has been reading like, you know, they're stealing our team. You know, and I'm thinking of kind of a parallel in America. You know, you've had breakaway leagues where you had, say, the ABA started, you know, or you had the WHA in hockey, of that nature. But you never really had saying, let's take the Yankees and the Dodgers and who else can we throw? Let's throw Boston in there and maybe Detroit. We're just going to, you know, leave the major leagues. This was, if you will, something never seen before here. And from the fans, from the managers of clubs like Man U and Liverpool, up to the prime minister here saying, I'm going to use every kind of legislation in the world to shoot this down. This thing is going down in flames tonight as we speak. It looks like certainly Man City and Chelsea are going to be pulling out. It looks like the other four English teams pulling out as well. So, you know, this quote-unquote rebellion by the very, very wealthy owners has been shot down in about 24 hours.
Yeah, you mentioned the Prime Minister Boris Johnson, his tweet from about an hour and 12 minutes ago saying the decision by Chelsea and Manchester City is, if confirmed, absolutely the right one, and I commend them for it. I hope the other clubs involved in the European Super yeah. League will follow their lead. You know, to follow your point, Tom, we're visiting with Tom Rivers, ABC News in London. It's a certain extent, it reminds me a little bit, and my producer and I were talking about this earlier, Leicester City winning the Premier League in 2015-2016. They started as 5,000-1, and it's similar to Milan winning yeah. in Indiana, in Hoosiers, the Hoosiers movie, where, I mean, isn't that part of the joy of the way it's all structured, that the little guy has a chance to beat the big guy, and in fact has done so?
Oh, very much so. And one aspect, you know about it, Chris, but you have here in the UK, you've got the ability for for teams to go from lower divisions and get promoted. You get the right team, the right ethos, the right maybe ownership, and you can go from the low ranks, you can go to the premiership. You can also be relegated. It's an interesting phenomenon. Can you imagine, I don't know, whenever your team is the Dodgers, have a lousy team, next year they're playing Triple-A ball. it is a nail-biter at the end of the season because you're looking at the teams going up and you're looking at the teams going down. And that is an exciting element in the game over here.
Pep Guardiola, the head man of Manchester City, had a lengthy series of comments that I found really fascinating. I'm not going to read them all, but I will read one short blurb here. He said, if you ask me why these teams have been selected, meaning the 12, to play this hypothetical competition in the future, sport is not a sport when the relationship between effort and reward does not exist. It is not a sport if success is guaranteed or if it doesn't matter when you lose. I mean, in many ways, that sort of sums this whole thing up, Tom.
Very much so. And of course, you know, you hear about this in many contexts in sports over here with the NFL playing games and Major League Baseball. Oh, we got to increase the pie. We don't know how else we can increase it domestically. So when they look at these 12, you know, they hypothesize 15 teams, they say, we're going to increase the pie by getting fans interested in Asia, getting fans interested in Africa, but they're totally disregarding the history and the feeling for the local fans in their local cities, their local teams. And I tell you, it's going to be fascinating. You watch within the next year how many of these owners, foreign owners of many of these clubs, are going to say, you know what, our respect is so low. We gotta outfloat this team because our names are pretty much trash in the towns where they own teams. I think a lot of these teams are going to be on the market. You watch and see.
Tom, you mentioned, and this is certainly what had been reported earlier. We're visiting with Tom Rivers, ABC News in London. You mentioned Chelsea and Man City and some of the other England teams, Man U and Tottenham Hotspur and so on, either threatening to pull out or planning or filing paperwork to pull out. Do you believe, based upon what you're hearing over there, that if the remainder of the core, Barcelona, Real Madrid, Juventus and so on, the teams outside of Great Britain, if they stay together on this, can this still survive and go forward?
I don't personally. On paper, I guess you can go forward, but it's going to be a real weak sister. I don't think this thing's going to fly. Barcelona, as well as I guess reading up, is kind of tottering right now. You're just going to find a base, basically, of teams from Italy, maybe a couple of teams from Spain. That's not going to be enough to cut it. You really, absolutely, positively needed these six teams from the UK. And if you're not going to have them, you've got a car with just three wheels ain't going to fly.
Do you think, let me rephrase this. Do you believe that these ownership groups, for as long as they've planned this out, Tom, and when you consider the $4.19 billion that J.P. Morgan Chase was putting up, obviously, it doesn't take a genius to figure out this has been in the works for quite some time. But
sure.
Did you think that it was capable on their parts of miscalculating so badly in terms of the negative reaction they've gotten from fans, media legend, I mean, government officials right across the board, Tom, all over the world?
Yeah. No, they thought they were so clever. They really, really did. Jürgen Klopp said today, look, and he had guts to say what he had to say because, in essence, his job's on the line, arguing, if you will, with the position of his owner. And saying, look, you know, we were totally out of the loop. This will go down in the game's biggest own goal, perpetrated by these 12 individuals who only saw dollar signs. That's it. And, they've learned a good lesson, I think, today, seeing the pushback all the way down from the grassroots, as you say, all the way up to the upper echelons of government, certainly here.
Yeah, France's Europe Minister, Clement Beaune, and I may be pronouncing that wrong, and I apologize, said this. This is the consequence of a system where money is king, and that excludes merit and solidarity. And it really, in some ways, Tom, and you're a big, that's why I mentioned Twins, you're a big baseball fan like I am. In some ways, this harkens back to the days of George Steinbrenner, where if I want something, I'm going to buy out my minority partners, I'm going to buy the player I want, I'm going to do whatever I have to do to position myself, everybody else be damned. And that's a little bit what this was like, right?
Yes, it certainly had that feel to it. And, you know, we all talk about, you know, we're going through different, you know, difficulties with the pandemic. You know, is this a reset? Well, obviously this was, you know, the soccer game's reset. They were going to change everything right now when, you know, hardly anybody and their mother can see a game over here live, and they're going to do it right now. Boy, that's like kicking somebody when you're down. And, you know, this is this is a bad, bad own goal. And as I say, the fans here do not forget. And they're going to probably do their best to rub the owner's name into this every single match here on out until they figure out that they best probably sell these teams.
Tom, just a couple more things for you. I know it's very late, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate you joining us. Tom Rivers from ABC News in London. Real Madrid's Florentino Perez was obviously very much at the other end of the spectrum, and he has insisted, and I'm just curious what the reaction has been over there that you've heard, he has insisted that the Champions League, the whole idea of it was dying, financially it was dying, and the only thing that could save soccer or football in Europe was going to be this idea they came up with. Is that just something that he's, you know, if you say it enough times, you're going to believe it?
Well, he said, yeah, young people don't follow football or soccer anymore.
Yes.
Not in London, that's for sure, and not in the rest of the UK. Again, one thing, too, look at the bottom line. All of these teams, and, you know, you and I used to think, you know, a certain baseball player in the late 60s, you know, signed a contract for $100,000. Wow, how did that happen? Well, you know, the money that these players get nowadays, and we've got these teams over here that are so hundreds of millions of dollars in debt. And this was their quickie, you know, change the bottom line, make the red ink black very quickly overnight. And, you know, if you pay these players that much money, if TV can't cover the salaries, then your business model doesn't work. You can't sell enough jerseys to make it a going operation. Well, you know, that goes down to the business acumen of these various teams. So, you know, they saw this as a chance to really, really change the bottom line very, very quickly, because their business model has been a little bit out of kilter. And it's been that way for a few years, that's for sure. And it just did not work. Big, big pushback.
Tom, what do you think, is there a singular aspect of this that after all these 12 teams, and I'm thinking about the teams in your neck of the woods now, in particular Manchester City and Chelsea, here they were on board, fully on board, and it seemed to take less than 24, 28 hours for them to rethink it. Is there a singular bullet point that made them reconsider? Was it the threats of not being able to play, getting players and teams getting banned? What was it to the best of your estimation?
Yeah, I think it was the groundswell. They didn't gauge the fact that, you know, the average person that, you know, I mean, the tickets are getting expensive here, too, just like in the States. But there'd be so much anger by average fans who maybe have, you know, followed their team since they were kids through good years, through bad years, and just, in essence, selling them off out into the wilderness. And, again, that was picked up by some very courageous football managers of these teams. Former players, easy for them to be critical, but current players, too. Boy, that's tough. You know, and you had all of this, and even had, as we talked about, prime ministers saying this isn't right. And you know what? We're not going to take this lying down. We're going to find a way to put up sanctions or write up legislations to make it not happen. And it was quick. quick pushback. And, you know, I think the owners, you know, quickly said, boy, we got a tiger by the tail here.
You are, last thing for you, you are as in touch, because you've been there so long, you are as in touch with the vibe, the culture, the socioeconomic impact of things, as well as anybody there. If this thing does completely, in fact, fall apart, what do you think will be the lasting ramifications, the impact on clubs like Manchester United, Manchester City, and so on, the ones that are in England?
That's a great question. You know, fans are going to be so relieved that this thing is not going to happen. That's going to be their view. As I say, but we've seen this in the past with owners that fans are in disagreement with. They get taunted week in, week out. They are so passionate about their teams. They don't let it go. The chants every single week, nailing people that own these teams. So, yes, I think you know, that may very, very well carry on. But I think, yeah, I think the main message really would be relief, saying, yes, man, we dodged this one. And this was pretty strong and powerful. But, you know, fingers crossed, it looks like the fans have won this particular chapter.
Quick follow-up for you. Do you suspect the reaction that we have all seen over here, the fans protesting and out on the streets, and just, I mean, it was peaceful, but it was remarkable. Do you ever think that something like that could happen here? My sense here is no, just because sports has become so transitory here. But do you see fans here looking at the fans in England saying, if they can force that kind of a change, maybe we can do that here as well?
Yeah, I think I've got my foot in both camps. I think the sentiments are stronger here for their soccer teams. Then, you know, I'm a great, great football fan in America, baseball fan, you name it, hockey fan. It does raise its ugly head when, say, teams leave their town. People are still angered about the North Stars, as you well know, leaving Minneapolis. And, you know, it does happen. In other regards, no. Teams have bounced around over the years. A lot of teams moved way before you and I were born, you know. The Athletics, where do they come from? Kansas City, where did they come from before that? You know, these teams have bounced, and I guess Americans are more used to that. But here it is tough, and they want to keep the system the way it is. They don't want to change, and you know, it'd be nice if all the teams were in the black, and that'd be great. But it's not right now, and they got to go back and figure out how to balance the books in some of these teams.
Boy, you're absolutely right. And I'll just say this, since you brought up the North Stars, the Wild have been a nice franchise. It's Excel Center, Energy Center is a great arena. But the North Stars, that was one of the great nicknames and great uniforms in the history of hockey. It bugs me to this day that it's gone.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and, that's an example. Other teams have come and gone.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a whole lot of consternation, let's put it that way. But, yeah, there's some that really, really hurt, and they hurt.
Yeah.
Generation later, they hurt.
No doubt. Tom Rivers, ABC News in London. Tom, again, I cannot thank you enough. It's always great to hear your voice, to have you on. Be well, be healthy, and let's keep watching that baseball this summer, even from 5,500 miles away.
You got it. Take care, Chris.
All right. Tom Rivers, an old friend, and just one of the really great news guys in our industry. If you have a thought on this, you can certainly weigh in with us, 844-940-3776. It is a remarkable thing to watch how this Super League has played out. We laid it all out for you yesterday. We gave you kind of a structured view of what these teams, what this Super League was trying to do. Add some brief context about Tom Rivers. Tom is a Minnesota guy, and I met him when I was back in the Midwest, but one of the very, very cool things that ever happened in my career, I had Tom on live with me from the Vatican when the College of Cardinals were meeting, and we were waiting to find out if the white smoke, the black smoke, and nothing had happened, so we hung on as long as we could. finally, we're getting ready to wrap it up, and Tom's like, oh, hold on, hold on, we've got white smoke. And sure enough, on the air, live, and we had the TV monitor on, and there it is, and Tom is right there near the Sistine Chapel. There comes the white smoke, and that white smoke is what translated into Pope Francis. So it was a great moment, and Tom and I go way back. But Gonzo, it is interesting to get Tom's perspective on this, and clearly, and as I said to Tom at the very beginning, there has been a profoundly visceral reaction to this. I don't think that anybody even imagined, the people who put this thing together, talking about the fans, the media, you know, former legends of the game from Europe, both the main continent and United Kingdom, managers, players, sponsors. I was looking at one sponsor, it's Tribus. They are the official global timing partner of Liverpool, and they're pulling out. And then there's other sponsors that are pulling out. JP Morgan Chase still on board, but I don't know how they pull this off. I've got the list of teams in front of me, and I don't know how they pull this thing off if they go forward without Man U, Manchester City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Tottenham Hotspur. Who am I think those are the ones that I don't know how they go forward without them. They've got to have England on board. If they don't, you're not going to have the BBC. You're not going to have BT Sport. You're not going to have the big British TV money behind you. Not saying you can't have that from the main continent, but you really need those teams. Do you not?
You really do need those teams. And I think that you need Manchester City more than anything because of the money and the financial backing that Manchester City has.
Yeah.
I think that that's one of the key things to all of it. And again, a lot of things are playing into this. One of the things that I think is going to be a key question is how much strength and how much does UEFA think they have in the ability to control things now?
Absolutely. 844-940-3776. That's a great point, because how much of what has happened so far, how much of what has happened is going to affect them moving forward, UEFA, as you call it, UEFA, as the non-beautiful speaker that you are, calls it the Premier League. How is that all going to work? Let's say hello to Chris. Chris, welcome. You're on the CGP. Good afternoon to you, my friend.
Good afternoon, CG and Gonzo. Thanks for having me on.
Of course.
I just wanted to weigh in real quick and say that I really liked the interview, what Tom's information he had to give, being there firsthand, seeing it, what's going on. And then, of course, Gonzo, I listened yesterday, and I like the point about tradition and family. I think that's what it comes down to, and we see that this Super League kind of falling apart. I see it as a victory for the fans and for the working class. I know Tom mentioned that. I just see that it's important, just that we see in America how important college football, college basketball is to, you know, the smaller towns and whatnot. I think there's that parallel in Europe. And finally, I just wanted to say that it really does come back to the tradition and the family. When I was in Fresno, I didn't live too far from the downtown studios, and there is a little Mexican restaurant called Don't Toucha. And I like to go over there because they had a sense of community and a lot of sports there. They're big Chivas fans. So it was really cool to see their love for that. And
let me jump in here and stay right there. Yeah, I know the place you're talking about. Certainly, since you took it to that level, let me take it to an additional level. Growing up in Illinois, we always talk about Indiana high school basketball. Illinois high school basketball is what I knew before moving to the East Coast. And those scenes that you would see in the movie Hoosiers, it was no different for tiny little towns like Chillicothe and Galesburg and Decatur and so on. The little towns where you'd see the line of cars at night, and if you were in a helicopter above the ground, you would see the red tail lights, lined up for miles, the entire town going and to follow their high school heroes. That is very much what Gonzo was saying yesterday, what Tom Rivers was saying today, where I started today, and that is that these teams are, in fact, they're part of the fabric of the community. Whether you're talking about a high school basketball or football team, whether you're talking about, you know, Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana, or Oklahoma State in Stillwater, Oklahoma, or whether you're talking about the old Brooklyn Dodgers, I mentioned them because more than any team in the history of baseball, Brooklyn was all about that borough. And that borough was everything that the New York Giants and the New York Yankees weren't. They were their own little entity. It's a big borough, but they were a very unique franchise and a unique community. And so that's where I think these owners, the greed, Chris, of the money involved here, I think that they got that all got in the way. The dollar signs got in the way, and they forgot about what makes it so special, the fans.
Amen. Totally agree. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, Chris. Always appreciate when you weigh in. Gonzo, any thought here? I know we're going to Giants-Phillies in a couple of minutes, but this is a remarkable turnaround to, or at least an apparent turnaround to where we were 24 hours ago. I mean, literally 24 hours ago to where we're at right now, which is chaos, confusion, and who's next to depart this proposed Super League.
That's exactly what it has been running through everybody's mind is who is next, who is going to step away. And again, we're seeing the repercussions of this in the top boards, the executive boards of these clubs. Manchester United having an executive having to step down. Juventus having an executive step down. There's so many things that are happening that is just, it's so incredible to see one day to the next how some teams are backpedaling. Right now we're seeing Chelsea and Manchester City backpedal because they were the two that just didn't want to get left behind. So they joined this not actually full-heartedly, but they joined it because they thought if they didn't join, they'd be left completely out of everything.
Yeah, we should point out that 14 Premier League teams met today at the exclusion or to the exclusion of all of the Premier League teams that were invited into this Super League. And to paraphrase their statement, they are emphatically and vitriolically against this Super League. Even last night, James Corden, am I saying his name right?
Yeah,
Corden. Yeah, I had a chance to watch him, and it might have been, here's a guy who has a late night talk show. He's a funny guy. He's an engaging guy. It was one of the best monologues he's ever had. You know, he spoke from the heart. He's an Englander. He spoke from the heart about what this Super League decision meant to him and so many like him. And what was interesting is that here's a guy who is a multimillionaire. He's probably making somewhere between 10 and 12 million a year, maybe even a little more. But what is really driving his passion almost to tears last night? It's what they were doing to the sport that he loves. And you know that what he said is so representative of so many others that don't have a voice other than being able to send out a tweet or go and protest on the streets of London today.
Yeah, and the only thing that I worry with this, if it keeps going in the exact same direction of everybody starting to disband little by little of this Super League, is if UEFA feels any sense of power because they were able to disband this and now feels like, you know what, we really don't have to listen and we don't have to do what we have and our conversations have been about. It just kind of have to be us because we have the power.
And it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if the folks behind the Super League, because they have spent so much time planning this, I'm not buying yet that they're going to totally capitulate. I don't think that's going to happen.
What I said yesterday was what I would accept is this league occurring when nothing else is really taking place. Have this in July to September when you're not in the thick of things. But if you're going to try and rival the Champions League, that just it doesn't work.
And to your point, are they trying to rival them or are they trying to squash them? And are they and going back to my idea yesterday of a hostile takeover, I like your idea, but it seems like their idea is to remove the competition and become the league. Good stuff. Folks, we are back to a full three-hour tour tomorrow. Great program lined up for you. In the meantime, coming up in a couple of minutes, the Giants, the Phillies from Citizens Bank Park in South Philadelphia, just off of Broad Street. You can have a nice view of the skyline there. We'll see you in 23 and a half hours. Until then, you're on your own. Yeah.
friends take.